Pretty darling. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit fills. Amen. When you're there, say amen. We're going to begin to read verse number 14. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, wherefore he saith, I'm going to start verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly or alert, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're so grateful tonight for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here tonight to accomplish something in every heart and every life of everyone that's gathered here in the sanctuary and those that are gathered on the website, Father God. Speak through me, Father God. May there be edification, exhortation, and comfort in the hearing of your word, Father God, and we'll never cease to give all the praise and glory to you, and we'll never fail to give you praise and glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, the first thing I want to speak to you tonight about is when we're looking at being filled with the Spirit, the drunkenness. Recognize that we look at alcohol, and we recognize alcohol as spirits, little s, spirits, and we have the capital Spirit and the Holy Spirit. He says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you're influenced by whatsoever you fill yourself with.
Yes.
Amen. So first he said, we're going to look at the drunkenness. I've been drunk in the little spirit, and I've been drunk in the big spirit, and the capital spirit or the Holy Spirit. And there's a song that we used to sing, His Love is Intoxicating. Amen. And I've been intoxicated by His love. And when His love comes in, it really moves in a supernatural way. So first we're going to look at the wisdom. And every time I look for wisdom, where do we go? We go to Proverbs, and we get the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Verse number one. Hook my sister up with the sheet. Verse number one. Solomon said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. How many know that the adversary will try to use whatever avenue he can use to get to you? How many know that the devil wants to use everything he can to weaken your defenses? Amen. So there's a woe that comes with this wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Proverbs 23, 29. The word of God says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go and seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. It's kind of understanding that when the Spirit gave us utterance, when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave us utterance. But in the little spirit, when we're intoxicated by wine or strong drink, all of a sudden there's things that come out of our mouth that we really shouldn't say. Amen? Amen? Amen. How many know sometimes you can't shut a drunk up?
Right.
Hello?
Yep.
Amen? Hey, I've been there and done that, but I want to say something. There's no greater intoxication than being intoxicated by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen? Because, you know, I used to think that alcohol would make me happy, but it gave me a hangover. So I was happy for a moment, and then the other came. So he calls us to walk in this wisdom, the woe, but we also have the walk that we're to do. In Romans 13, the Apostle Paul is giving us counsel or giving us instructions. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So when the apostle was saying, be not drunk with wine, where is it excess? What he is saying is that wine would have an influence on you and will draw you away with temptation, and you most likely will give in to the temptation because you don't have the defenses to resist it. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Amen. And one of the ways the apostle is saying, hey, let's not be drunk with wine, but let's be filled with the Spirit. I want to make this understanding. If somebody's listening to this, somebody told someone in this house the other week, and someone called me up, that if you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you weren't going to heaven. And that's a lie from the pits of hell, and there's no truth in that. There's no truth in that whatsoever. That's a deception from the adversary. God does want you to be filled with the Spirit. God doesn't want you to speak in tongues, but tongues never got anybody into heaven. Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to the Father but by the Son. Amen. So let's not confuse people. We want people to be filled with the Spirit because we know the benefit of a Spirit-filled life, but we don't want to put conditions on it that the Bible doesn't put on it. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So the reason I'm saying this is I got a report from somebody that wasn't coming back because of that, and I'm praying that he hears the truth because I would never allow that. I don't permit that, and I don't agree with it. Okay? I'm just straightforward. You know, I'm grateful for the Spirit, but God said, what benefit is if you're full of the Spirit and you're still full of the flesh? Amen. You know, the spirit and the flesh is in enmity against each other. It's a battle between the two. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for signs. I thank God for wonders. I thank God for miracles. I thank God for all he's doing. And he does want us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I don't know what to pray. And the Bible says the Spirit will give me utterance when I know not what to pray. Amen. My gift of tongues isn't to speak. And there's the gifts of tongues within the body of Christ, which is there's a tongue and there's an interpretation of tongues. But Paul said, I would rather you speak a few words with understanding than thousands of words of misunderstanding or a confusion, because God is not the artist of confusion. Amen. God does things decently and he does them in order. And when I'm praying, sometimes I just don't know not what to pray. And the Spirit gives me utterance, not for everyone to hear, but it's a prayer language between me and the Father. Amen. Actually, it's my private prayer life. Amen. Amen. So he wants us to know that he's given us these benefits and that we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And there's benefits that come from being filled with the Spirit of God. But let's put conditions on it that he doesn't put on it. Amen? Are you with me? I don't know if you understand or not, but that's really good teaching. It's a teaching for now, and it's a word from the Lord. Amen. The Father wanted to say that to you tonight because somebody has spoken to you and there's been some confusion that's come in. And God doesn't want you to be confused, because where there's confusion, there's every evil work. And the adversary uses that confusion to mess with you. Amen. And God's saying, hey, be not drunk with wine, because it's going to bring confusion, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So first he said that we talked about the drunkenness. Secondly, we're going to talk about the deception. The deception. The ceasing. The ceasing I have here in 1 Peter chapter 4. I love the Word of God. Amen. I love His Word. I don't know about you, but it really soothes me. I was having a hard day today. And, you know, battling different things. And in the midst of that, the Lord said, well, get in the Word. Yeah. So I got in the Word and I started reading Psalms. And then after I got out of the Psalms, I went to the prophets. I went to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And then all of a sudden, the Lord started giving me words to speak and started giving me a picture of things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't He good?
Yeah.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Isn't He good? How many know that God cares about everything that you're going through? There's not one thing that you're going through that He doesn't notice and He doesn't see. Amen. God says, trust me, hold on. Hold on. I'm always reminded of this. His time is not our time, but He's always on time. He's never late.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We serve an on-time God. I love it where it says that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think. Amen. Sometimes when we're seeking things from God, we're thinking too small.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we have to enlarge our thinking.
Yes.
You know, if we don't enlarge our thinking, we don't step towards something. You know, the Bible says without vision, people perish. So unless I enlarge my thinking and see something bigger than I can attain myself, I'm not trusting God for anything, and I'm not going to move anywhere, and I'm not going to do anything. Amen. So He says to us right now, it's the ceasing. In 1 Peter 4, the Apostle Peter reminds you and I in verse number 1. For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And for he that have suffered in the flesh, cease from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, when I became a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things passed away and behold, all things become new. And I started walking in a different direction. I tried to get my friends to go with me. And most of them didn't want to come with me. And even some of my Christian friends that I knew didn't want to come with me because they thought I was a holy roller. Amen. Amen. Guess what? Your pastor is a holy roller. Amen. And I'm proud to be a holy roller. Hallelujah. Amen. We roll and operate in His holiness. Hallelujah. He's a holy God. Amen. He's a holy. And you know what? In the early church, when I was a kid in Percival, remember Marlene? They used to roll around the place. That's where they got the name Holy Rollers. They were all rolling around. Amen. I don't think it would hurt it. I don't think it would hurt much if we would come outside of our pride and start a little bit of moving for the kingdom of God and start doing some things that are outside of our comfort zone. You know that faith will step us out of our comfort zone. And if it's comfortable for you, you're not operating in faith. Because God takes you to those places that you're not comfortable to trust in Him. You need His help. You need His support, right? Are you with me? So with this, the cost in Galatians chapter 5 How many of those are cost involved?
Yes, it is.
The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:19, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In other words, there's some things in our lives that we need to repent from. There's things in our lives we need to turn and release them to the Lord. You know, when he convicts us, we're to act upon it. Amen. It's sort of like this. When he convicts us, if we don't act upon it, we become a convict. I guess I'm just using my corny words. As a convict means you're a prisoner to it. And God wants us to deliver us from all these things if we allow him to. He doesn't want us to be a prisoner. Amen. Who the Son has made free is free indeed. Amen. So as we're looking at this, he says to us, there's the challenge in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these are natural. Can I say something? I want to say this, and again, I'm not tooting a horn, and this isn't a tooting horn. But I was praying the other day, was speaking to the Lord, and I was talking about the Lord and his angels, and the Lord said he gave me 50 angels that are set in charge of me. And when I speak the word, there's angels that are dispersed to accomplish what God said. Amen. That he's given us a host of angels. Amen. Amen. That we're not in this alone. And sometimes we feel like we're alone. People will deny you. People may reject you. But God says, you are never alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. I always surround you with my host of angels. Amen. And he said, when you're speaking the word, you have a host of 50 angels. I used to think like I had one on the right hand and one on the left. And the Lord just showed me there's an army. Amen. 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 And you know what he says? If you really could see, the spiritual darkness is trying to avert what's taking place and what God's trying to do and what's going to do in this valley, you would see why there takes a heavenly host of angels to guard and to watch and to protect what God is getting ready to do. Amen. God said it and he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So again, he tells us not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we don't faint or we don't give up or we don't quit. Hey, we're not quitters. Amen. Quitters never win and winners never quit. Amen. And I don't know about you. I read the end of the book and we win the battle. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, amen, I know I'm on the winning team. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's all kinds of things that are coming to this world. There's great division that's coming to this world. And God says the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter what's taking over on the place on the outside, you're not drunk with wine, but you're filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we get excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. Amen. That gets me a little pumped up. Is it okay to get pumped up? Amen. But he says, But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speaking evil things of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And God is saying to us that what he is speaking to me about and what he is saying in the time and the season that we're in, it's time for the church to arise. Hey, that we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're to be acting like the church. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light. We're to be different in this world and in this time. Amen. And don't be afraid of nothing. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Hallelujah. No matter what the world's saying, no matter what the news is saying, guess what? I don't listen to the news because the news is liars. Amen. What is a lie? Is to distort the truth. Any distortion of a truth is a lie. If it's bent just a little bit, it's a lie. And the news is liars. Amen. And I'm going to believe the truth. You know, this is the only truth. Amen. Amen. God didn't have to prove his existence. We already knew he was here. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you. Even the sinner knows he's here. Amen. So this calls for us to make the decision. Decision. You know, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about is to be full. And you know, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. But the Spirit goes hungry inside of you, the Spirit of God, because he feeds on the word that you feed it. You would say, well, he's God. He knows everything. He doesn't need the word. No. God chose us to digest it, to feed the Spirit of God that's within us. Amen? Amen? And in other words, if we didn't, he would just say, you don't have to look at the Word, you don't have to study the Word, you don't have to do anything because you got the Holy Spirit and the Spirit will show you something. No. God didn't call lazy Christians. He called us to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen? And when I was thinking about to be full, I was thinking of what Jesus said in John 15. Verse number 11. What is the world right now trying to steal from the children of everyone in this world? Joy. They want everybody to be in fear. They want everybody to be afraid.
Yeah.
Amen. But Jesus said, he's talking about hatred of the world. I don't hate the people in the world, but I hate this world and what it represents. Amen? We're Heavenites. You know? I'm not a Mennonite. I'm a Heavenite. A Heavenite. I'm an ambassador. You and I are ambassadors from heaven here on earth. We're representing a foreign land. Amen? Amen? So this is our rule book. This is our law. This is our diplomatic immunity. When I come and minister in whatever nation in the United States or any other nation, I have diplomatic immunity as a child of God. That doesn't mean that the nation may not attack me, but I walk with immunity because no matter what they do, amen, God's promises are yes and amen. Amen. They can kill me, but they can't kill the spirit that's in me. Amen. Amen. They can't kill that spirit. Amen. In other words, this is the time in our nation and our world when the church needs to arise. You know, the gossip, the chatter now, even in New York City, if you're not a vaccinated, you can't even go into a public restaurant starting in the middle of September. You don't think there's division coming to this nation? Amen. You don't think things are coming? You better wake up. It's time now for the church to arise. Amen. We need to gather these men and women and share Jesus and win them to the Lord, get them baptized and get them filled with the Holy Ghost and get them in the Word and train them up and teach them. Amen. Jesus said this, "These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." I don't know about you, but I like being happy. Amen. Amen. A lot of times, my smile and my joy. Sometimes when the enemy attacks, he's always attacking. When the enemy attacks, for a moment, he grabs my joy. And then the Spirit of God reminds me of where my joy comes from. It doesn't come from out here. It comes from in here. Amen. And if I'm trying to find it out here, I'm going to fall short. Amen. God wants you to understand that he's placed a source within us that gives us joy unspeakable and a fullness of glory. Amen. Okay, I better get going here. My throat's getting... I must have got loud. Did I get loud? I know. Somebody bring me water. I don't want water. Everybody knows me knows I don't like water. So he's told us to be fruitful in Romans 15. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Huh? I am drinking juice. Holy Ghost juice. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15, and this is the mindset that we have to have in these last days. He said, "And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ." The fullness. Amen. We're being filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Word. Okay. So we're to be following Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13. "Till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but I just want to be filled, overflowing. Amen. It's no longer I that's living, but Christ that's living in me. Amen? Amen? I want Christ to be manifested everywhere I go. It's kind of interesting. I'll share a story with you. I had a young lady that was transferred from Rockingham jail to Middle River. And I went up to Middle River. Of course, Middle Rockingham, you didn't have to have masks and you didn't have all these things. But I went up to Middle River, and Middle River's requiring the mask, and they're checking your temperature and all these different things. And when I went to visit, he says, "Well, we were backed up. You've got three in front of you. There's only one clergy booth." So there was three pastors in front of me in the clergy booth. So I said, "Well, I'm here. I'll go ahead and wait." And you know, I was just waiting. And then this other guard came in and said, "Who are you waiting for?" And I gave the name. And the guard said, "Well, you can't see her. She's in quarantine because she just moved there and she couldn't be seen because she was in quarantine. She was separated." And then the first thing was, well, that's kind of aggravating. But then the Lord said, "Be thankful." And then I said, "Oh, yeah, well, I'm thankful. I was going to have to sit here for an hour and a half for a visit, and the Lord's going to make an easier path for me." All right? Yeah. Amen? So then I got to go visit someone else. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So the reason I said that is all things work together for the good to them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose. And what you have to do is sometimes you just have to look for a moment. Because right in the first glance, it may not look like it's for your benefit. It may not look like it's advantageous for you or whatever. But when that report comes, the first thing would be to be disgruntled.
Yeah.
You know? "Oh, I traveled all the way up here and waited this time." And the second thing I did was, "Thank you."
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen. So as we're looking at this in Ephesians chapter 3 or 4, verse 13, we already talked about that. So the discussion tonight is Psalms 145. Go to Psalms 145 and I'll Why did I tell you that story? Because the Holy Spirit says there's some things that you were expecting and you've been waiting for, and you haven't seen what you wanted to see, but there's something else that's working and there's something else that's taking place. And you have to believe and trust God with all your heart that it's working for your benefit. No matter how it feels or no matter what it seems like, that God has a purpose and God has a plan. Amen. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to give you hope and give you an expected end. Our expected end and our hope doesn't always come in our time. Amen? But in God's timing. And when God's timing, some things I've been looking for, and I'm looking for God to do some supernatural things, and I've seen God do a lot of supernatural things, but I'm looking for some explosions.
Yeah.
All right? I believe I've seen it in a vision, and I've seen explosions in the kingdom of God exploding in a mighty way. Amen? And what happens is God says to me, he says, I'm setting everything up. Because if things weren't set up, the explosion would kill people versus bring them life. Hello? Hello? Are you with me? So he says to us in Psalms 145. He says, in verse number 10, I'll start there. He says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty of his kingdom. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Amen. And what God is saying to you and I simply tonight, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen? So that's what we're seeking. You know, I don't know about you, but if you could see it, I saw it in a dream one time in a vision. I saw myself, amen, and I saw all these, it was like water leaking out of my body everywhere. It's like I had holes and waters were leaking out. And the Lord said to me, son, I called you to pour out my Spirit on others. Amen. But you got to refill the well. Amen. You got to refill, you know. You got to fill it up because your supply will run dry. And if you're not flowing living water, what's going to flow out of you is dead water. Amen. And dead water don't bring any life anywhere. Amen. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. So grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. Now may we take these words that were spoken. May we meditate upon them. May we chew them. If there's any bones in them, may we spit it out so they don't choke us. But the meat of the word, may we swallow it. That brings life to our body, mind, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you have your way in every man, woman, and child in this room. Be glorified and magnified and exalted in everything that they do. You've called them and anointed them for a time such as now, Father God. So right now, Father God, I pray that the God in them arises and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. And we'll never cease to give you glory. Amen and amen.